everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of Girl Fights. My name is Nicole Tanner. I am your host. Today, I am joined by Megan Sullivan.
Yo.
Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Jessica Chobot.
Hello.
And Dana Jungle Ward.
Hello.
Before we
someone else complained to me. Sorry, yeah, I was just going to interrupt that someone else who actually works with us complained to me that they can't figure out our voices.
Wait, somebody that works with us?
That works at IGN said that he really liked the podcast, but he had a hard time differentiating among us. I think I'm going to talk like this all the time
it's
now.
Gonna be man,
I think
Dana.
It's, yeah, I just think it's.
It'll take time.
All right.
Okay, before we get started, a couple shout outs. We got some more awesome fan art by a couple people. One of them didn't give us his last name, Brian with a Y. Thanks, Brian. And the other one came from Yuichi Haga. Very cool, both of them. So thanks very much. If you've got art that you want to send us, feel free. IGNGirlFight@gmail.com.
We have a very obvious art competition now going on in our podcast room between Beyond mostly. Nintendo has some pathetic ones put up there. But Nintendo voice chat, it's a little weak sauce. I don't know why you guys are like, aw, because those are really, like, I mean, I applaud the person that did them, but they've only got two images. Whereas we've got more, so I'm not considering them part of the.
What are the ones that are duct taped to the wall?
Yeah, that's GameSpy. That's debriefings. GameSpy debriefings.
Okay, I include them along with the Nintendo voice chat that were not really part of that competition.
All right, so it's us.
So it's just us versus Beyond.
Yeah,
it seems.
Yeah, so if you've got art, keep sending it. Beyond is they're ahead of us by a little bit.
Although I think ours are pretty quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be sure you spell Nicole's name right, too.
Right, yeah. I already had to respond to somebody that spelled my name wrong. There is no H.
Why do people spell with an H?
It's a common spelling of
really?
Nicole
I would
with
think
an
that
H.
It would,
yeah.
I would default to without an H
yes.
before I would go.
I'm there with
H.
you. Sorry, yeah. I'm there
Anyways,
with you.
This is neither here nor there.
Right.
See, I have the opposite problem. I'm Mei Khan. So there's an H in my name, but no one ever includes it. Even in my emails and my signature, it has an H. No one ever bothers to glance at it.
Every time I write your name, it's with an H.
Everybody spells my name wrong, too. They always spell it with a C-H.
C-H, yeah.
Or they call me Chris, which I hate.
You're not a boy.
I'm not a boy. I actually said that when I was a little kid. My hair. My sister, like, cut off all my hair when I was a little girl.
How much older is your sister?
Yeah, she's 2 years older than me. And so she decided to play hairdresser, cut off all my hair. So I had like a little boy haircut. And somebody was like, oh, you're such a cute little boy. And I was like, I'm not a boy. I was like, mommy, tell them I'm not a boy. But so, yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyways.
Yeah. All right, cool. So we're going to kick things off like we always do with what we're playing. Dana, you want to start?
Yes. I finally... rid my house. So I couldn't play games a lot of last week because my in-laws were in town gardening. And there's something about how when you're, they were visiting because we just bought a house and we moved in. And so they're re-landscaping everything. But that, like when your husband's parents are outside digging holes in your yard and making things nice, I can't be like, woo, I'm gonna play. So I was like, okay. But they've left. And so I started Lego Harry Potter last night. And I also have Red Dead sitting there waiting for me to start it too, but I just didn't feel like thinking too much last night. It is, it's. I mean, I know exactly what it's going to be, but it's so cute and it's so fun and it's relaxing and it's not.
Are you playing
co-op
with your husband or?
We are not because in our move we have we had two PS3 controllers, but one of them was third party and had the little dongle.
Oh.
And we lost it.
Ah.
And I realized that last night. I know I was like, alrighty. So I may have to actually pick up a legit second PS3 controller. So yeah.
All right, cool. Jess.
I have again started Dragon Age over. And I am now with the precise idea of trying to get a blood mage, because I've always played, for most RPGs that give you choices of being good or bad, I always seem to default towards good. Mm-hmm. Due to guilt and the way I was raised. And so this time I'm struggling to try and be the biggest butthead possible and do all the bad things that I
What's
can.
It's good you can direct all your rage that you've been feeling.
Yes. So, yeah, I am. I'm
like
very.
Cutting yourself, because that's how the blood mage works.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you finished that sentence up, because I was like, whoa, Christine, where are you going with that one? No, I am very crabby today. And I feel like I'm going to kill something. I don't know what. Probably
how
Christine.
Horse.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but anyway, so I did that, and then I also am playing Alan Wake. Because I put that on hold to play Red Dead. And then I put Red Dead on hold to play Dragon Age again. So now, but Dragon Age, I'm actually playing at my BF's place, which is in LA. So I, in order to have something to play in San Francisco, am playing Alan Wake. And I finished episode 2 last night. And I'm halfway through 3.
Halfway through three.
I think it's 5. Okay. I actually saw, you know what, just since we're on the subject really quick of Alan Wake, I actually watched all those live action little Bright Falls videos they put together. Mm-hmm. Those things are great.
Yeah.
They did a really good job.
I haven't seen any of them.
I thought they were fantastic. I mean, I actually am kind of bummed out because I think I've seen them all at this point. I'm not totally sure because the way that they've set it up with the menu systems and things like on YouTube and stuff, I can't figure it out. Like, I don't know if I'm just doing it wrong or whatever, but, if I have seen them all, I'm totally disappointed because I'm like, this should be a show and I'm totally curious as to what is going on now. So make more.
Alan cool. Wake sitcom.
I highly recommend you guys go check out the Bright Falls videos on Alan Wake.
Awesome. What about you, Christine?
With E3, I decided to put something on my PSP Go and actually play it. So I finished Lunar last weekend. Lunar Silver Star Harmony, which was rad. Loved it. Not so much the battling. Got a little boring because it's just typical turn-based. Go through the menus, select what they're doing, and
magic,
wait for
attack,
it to happen.
Magic, attack.
I was screaming at it for a while because it never really seemed to have an order. You know, it was just like randomly they would go. So she would heal like before I wanted her to. I'm like, God, now everybody's dead. Thanks a lot. But anyways, the story was great. So... love that. Got back, played a little Lego Harry Potter myself.
That's
haven't
very
finished
nice.
It yet, but it's good. And I'm also
you're playing that crazy DSiWare game.
Yes,
which
playing
was hard.
Animal Cross, Puzzle Cross, or something. I can't remember exactly what it's called. Animal Color Cross. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Animal Color Cross. And it's sort of like Picross, but not.
It's not as good.
No. Well, it's a DSiWare game.
So no, I know, but it was like it's just hard because like it's a giant grid.
It's a giant grid. They use
it's so
too many
tiny.
Colors, and the background's always bright lime green.
Well, and
sometimes you use lime green as a color to fill it in. Oh. So you're like, wait, shoot, did I?
Yeah.
Fill that in. I don't.
And then some of the colors are so close to each other that I was like, because it does the thing where it's like, okay, you got 1, 1, 1, 3 like sets of squares, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like. It looks like I already have this. Oh, no, this is another very slightly different color. And yeah, it was just.
Yeah, it's so. It has problems, but it's still an interesting puzzle game if you want one. Yeah.
But I would not get it if you had a DSi because it was hard on the DSi XL.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
because
it was
crazy.
So...
I have the biggest screen and I'm still like, this is really small. And you can zoom in and stuff, but you still need to see the whole grid really to figure out what you're doing with all the X, Y axis crossing and crap like that.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, it's got that. And trying to play, I have so many others on my list that I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
It's making it hard.
It's summer. It's
it
there's
is
a
summer,
lull.
So I'm hoping.
So,
yeah.
But no, because now all my downloadable games are coming out that I want to play. Monkey Island is coming out next week.
Right.
Deathspank's coming out.
Is Puzzle Agent out yet?
Puzzle Agent is, I think, out on just the PC and Mac because they can release
I'm going to wait for the iPhone version
but
of
then,
that.
But then, yeah, they have an iPhone and iPad version coming.
What's that one that Damon just played that looks
fantastic?
Limbo. Oh, God, I want to play that
yeah,
so
that's
bad.
That's part of a Summer of Arcade, I believe.
Every time, Dana.
I know. It's the it's the plague that does not leave me.
Yes.
It's also this room has no ventilation in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, Limbo.
But yeah, Limbo looks really cool.
Fantastic.
Cool.
So thankfully downloadable games generally smaller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Much easier to finish.
Yes.
How about you, Megan?
Let's see, what have I done? Well, I got to play the Japanese demo of Patapon 3.
Ooh.
Which was really fun. I love Patapon, so that was fun.
Patapon.
Yep. Patapon. Viva! And I revisited Super Mario Galaxy 2 because I put that down for a while. Not because it wasn't fun, but just one of those things where it's a platformer so you can play it at your own pace. And it's not something you get totally addicted to, like, you know, Patapon or Harvest Moon or anything. So that was pretty cool. And then just for fun, I revisited the original Super Mario Brothers, the NES version on WiiWare to compare them. And it's amazing how far the series has come, but even the original game is still a lot of fun. Although I feel so bad. I played it like an old person, like the original NES game. Like I used to be able to fly through the levels. I was so ace at that game. And now it's just like with my walker, it's like, okay, where's the jump button? You know, just like walking. Forgot I had a time limit, so I'm just like going around, like have no idea what I'm doing. Oh man, that was embarrassing. But it was like, I used to be so ace at this game, and now I'm playing like some 85-year-old grandmother who doesn't know where like the buttons are. It was ridiculous.
I think there's only two.
Yeah, there's only two. See, that's the amazing part. It's like there are only two buttons, but just like some old fart, I was just like, okay, where's the jump button? Uh-oh, here comes a turtle. What do I do? Jump on it. Yeah, jump on it. Oh, jeez. So that's about all I've been playing, is a lot of Super Mario and Patapone.
Okay, this is Nicole talking. I was playing last night before I left work, Dream Chronicles Book of Air, which is a point-and-click adventure game for the PC from PlayFirst. It's actually pretty good. It's kind of like a Myst-esque type of game.
Is this the one that I saw playing over your shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
It did look good.
The puzzles are a little on the easy side, but it's aimed at the casual market, so that's to be expected.
That was actually what my mother-in-law said, because they were doing promo stuff for it last week, and the first one, my mother-in-law had tried out the demo, and she was like, it was too easy.
Oh,
I was like, okay, sorry, Joy.
It's a demo. I'm not questioning you. But it's, you know, it's still cool. That's a downloadable PC game, so I think you can get it for like $10 or less than that. So so that one's pretty cool. I also started playing through Heavy Rain a second time. Much like Jess is doing with Dragon Age, I am now trying to be a big butthole.
And how is that? Is it hard?
Are you trying to get that trophy?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just want to see how the story changes, because
I've
already
seen
a big change, you know, and I'm not even halfway through
it again. Yeah, I keep meaning
to
go back and play that game over and like platinum it, but
is it hard?
No.
To play hard?
Not so far.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't, there's not really a place in the game where you have to be like overtly mean. It's more like just choosing not to help.
Okay. Yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're not having to actively do bad things.
Well, in some cases, probably will be, but so far I've been okay. Like I
think you just have to fail a lot, and then bad things happen.
Oh yeah, there's probably that too.
Miss the button prompts. Whoops,
but yeah, like I yelled at my kid and I didn't let him watch TV and I sent him to bed right away.
I did that once for him on that too.
And he screamed at me like, "Leave me alone! I hate you!" Yeah. So
it's just like real life.
I wouldn't feel bad about telling my kid they couldn't watch TV. That'd be fine.
They're all kind of little brats in that game, and I always that's why, spoiler alert, I did not feel bad when the first kid died.
Wow.
What? I mean, he ran. I'm going to run across the street.
See, that's the thing. I didn't think they were brats.
Really?
I just thought that they were stupid.
Well, yeah.
Like,
really, really stupid.
The first one's really stupid. And the second one was really stupid and bratty because he had emotional issues.
Natural selection, man.
Oh, man.
It is.
Wow.
I'm just saying, if you're stupid, you do stupid stuff.
Like
Darwinism.
In front of a car.
Like running in front of oncoming traffic.
You weren't chasing the child with a hammer, though, yes?
No.
That's not happening?
That's
okay.
That's limbo.
All right, cool. So that's what we've been playing. So we have a ton of questions. So rather than having a special topic this week, we are just going to answer questions, and hopefully we can get through a big chunk of them. As always, if you have questions, you can send them to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. We are currently answering questions in the order that they are received. So,
and I'm looking at Nicole's stack of questions. There's about an inch.
Stack.
It's about an inch.
I know.
Wow.
It's got a lot
more. It's reached almost novel length. Comes to us from Julia in Brazil. She actually sent her question in a little late, but I bumped it to the top for a good reason. It's because her birthday was on June 27th.
Oh,
and
happy
birthday. Yes, happy birthday, Julia. She begged us to wish her happy birthday. Oh. So
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yay. And her question is, she wants to know how each one of us managed to get to work in the game industry.
Trying to avoid being unemployed. That's how I got in. No, I was at a magazine owned by a company that also owned, I was at a business magazine, and that same company also owned a lot of gaming magazines, and the business magazine, this was in the .com era, It was very obvious it was not long for this world, and a position opened up on Computer Gaming World, and I applied for it, and it was in the production thing, and I didn't play games.
Yeah, I didn't get to leave that business magazine before it tanked.
Yeah, Nicole was at the
magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so, and they hired me, and then I was like, oh, holy crap, what are all these people talking about? What are these things called, RPGs, FPSs? Seriously, I didn't know what, like that first day, I was like, oh, I don't know what I have gotten myself into. But that was how, I was very accidental, but it was a very happy accident. I've enjoyed my work ever since. Once I got past those first 6 months of having no idea what anyone was talking about at all.
Yeah. How about you, Jess?
So, I mean, obviously the whole PSP lick picture definitely garnered me some attention, but, and I know a lot of people out there think that that was just an easy way to get the job. And such is not the case, because that was just like 5 seconds of brouhaha, and it could as easily had just kind of petered away and nothing would have happened. But it was a combination of a lot of hard work. So going by using that attention, going out and making connections with people that I knew were in prime positions to hire at companies that I wanted to work for, and making sure that I was like in front of their faces all the time and asking for free work. You know, I mean, I probably worked 3 years for free before I ever actually got hired even for freelance at IGN. You know, and then, and it was all just a kind of a accumulation of gaining experience, constantly being proactive, taking the attention and trying to, you know, use it in a way that was, you know, like, how do I want to put it? I don't want to say positive, because it's just a picture, but, you know, like using it to open a door so that I can shove the rest of myself through it, you know, and eventually, and then a great deal of it also was luck, like being at the right place at the right time, because when all that stuff happened, I was also, I was working at an EB Games. I'd snuck into an E3 by like making fake business cards and doing all this other stuff. And then walking the show floor, I was one of like three girls there and got interviewed by G4, who then somebody from IGN saw it, interviewed me for like a Babes channel, which was like some Maxim-esque thing that we used to have on the site.
Yeah.
But then actually during the interview, when they were asking me about E3, and I could sit there and say, you know, well, this is what I think about gaming and blah, 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 and I do this, that it became very apparent that I actually was very interested in what I was doing. And so, you know, I could have easily ended up just some random booth babe or whatever and been more than happy enough to just be at an E3 officially and not, you know, but now I look back on it, and as frustrating as I find this job sometimes, I do really, really, really like appreciate and thank my lucky stars that I'm in it, because it's pretty damn awesome.
Cool.
This is really random, but I like your shoes.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
I was just looking at them.
I was going to say the same thing to Christine, though. Like, I love your sandals.
I just got them at Aldo's.
Ah,
they were on sale.
Very, ooh.
Yep. $25.
Mm.
Nice.
Yep, well done.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Sorry.
All right. Christine.
I started fresh out of college at a PR agency doing work for Microsoft Game Studios. So I did that for about 2 years.
Is that what you majored in, PR?
Yeah, communications.
Communications.
But basically, I got the job because I did a senior project and had to, you know, do a case study basically on a PR campaign. So I picked Xbox because I was interested in gaming. And then that's actually how I got the job after school, was because I had that contact. And then I was just like, hey, by the way. And, you know, they're like, sure, we're hiring interns. And I was an intern. Then I got hired and then stayed there for a couple years. Made friends with Hillary and all the Xbox team up here, and was like, yeah, P.S., I kind of hate my job. And and they were like, oh, well, you know, this position just opened up, so why don't you come over here? So that's how I got hired here.
Cool. Megan?
It was kind of serendipity. I went right from high school to college, college to grad school. Took 6 months, not vacation in Japan, because I worked at one of those eikaiwas called Nova, which went bankrupt. I'm so happy because that was such a joke. And came home and was like, I don't know what I want to do. And while I was going through like Craigslist or something, IGN was hiring. And I was like, oh, I love video games. I've always wanted to, work at a video game review company. And so I turned in my resume and they're like, you speak Japanese? I was like, yeah. Can you read it? Yeah. You're hired. Right. And that's the end of my amazing adventure. Here I am.
That's so Nick's.
No, he literally, Nick's didn't even call me in. What happened was I actually went in for a personal interview for a news position. And I was interviewed by Tal, and that went really well. But they had actually already sort of had someone in mind. So they passed my resume over to Nick's, and he's just like, I need somebody, and this person speaks Japanese. We have a lot of Japanese games coming in. Just hire her. And the first week I worked at IGN, it was E3. So I was left all by myself, had no idea what I was doing, was left alone.
Sounds
with,
just like IGN.
Yeah.
It's
just
here like, you go, work.
Yeah. It was like, have fun, you'll be here.
What's training?
Yeah, exactly. So I was alone with Stephen Ng and Spence, who was the music editor at the time. Wow. And just the three of us. And I was like, okay. And Nick was like, yeah, have fun. So
I actually kind of had something sort of similar in the sense that I had actually gotten a call from IGN back when I was living in Michigan offering me a job to do mobile gaming reviews, and mm-hmm. I said no because it was way before any of the smartphones, and like your thing was like Snake, yeah. You know, yeah. So like I'm like no. So I hung up the phone, and then I thought about it like for 10 minutes and kind of was had one of those like don't moments, like I should have just said yes and gotten my foot in the door. And then I could have asked to be moved around eventually. Mm-hmm. I'm an idiot. Like, I should have just said yes. So then I called back literally 30 minutes later, tried to play it cool, and was all like, yeah, you know, I've been giving it more thought. And I'd like to reintroduce that conversation about, you know, the mobile reviews and blah, 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 blah. And quite literally the girl, and I don't think she works here anymore. I don't even really remember her name. Oh, yeah, I do, actually. It just popped in my head. Anyway, she was also a little nuts. She said, no. Like, she's just like, nope, it's gone. And, like, literally, quite literally hung up on me. So I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding. And so for a week, I was devastated. Just, like, I just pissed away my one opportunity. Yeah. And then I ended up getting a call at the end of that week, I think from Pear, might have been Fran, who said, you know, we're launching a new video thing, a video group. We don't know what we're going to do with it yet, but we need a host. Do you want to try and be the host? And mm-hmm. I said, sure, just because there was no way I was going to say no and right. get stuck in Michigan again. Like this, right. like God doesn't give second chances. And I just got really, really lucky. So I moved out and had no idea. Like, I've never been in front of a camera before. I didn't know, like, what to do. I didn't, and it shows. If you watch any of the old stuff, it's pretty bad. And just kind of was like, I'm jumping into the deep end of the pool and let's see what happens. And I know for a fact that I probably came close to getting the axe numerous times, not only because I think IGN didn't know where it wanted to go with video, but mm-hmm. also because, you know, they thought, well, is this as good as she's going to get? And blah, 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 blah. And I don't know who was working on my benefit behind the scene. I suspect a couple people, but thank God they did, because now we're rocking it. Now we got it made. So
awesome. So me, Nicole, as mentioned, I was on Business Magazine with Dana. I was actually doing graphic design for that magazine. And after it tanked, I then moved to the gaming magazine. It was a different gaming magazine yep. than Dana was on. It was Game Now. And I was technically...
Game Now! That's no! what I used to yes. call it.
Scared me.
Wow.
And, sorry. I can't hear that name and not do that. Yeah.
Well, the noun was in all caps.
Yeah, it was. That's yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. And I was technically doing design on that magazine as well, but they wanted everybody to contribute, so I was doing reviews and previews mm-hmm. as well. And then Game Now got shut down as well, and I moved over to what is now called Foundation 9 Entertainment. It was just Backbone Entertainment at the time, and I did PR for them for about 4 years until it drove me nuts and I couldn't do it anymore. And then I freelanced for a year, mostly writing for Green Pixels and What They Play. And then when IGN bought What They Play, full-time job opened up. I'm like, Dana.
Yep. And I said, who are you?
It is funny how eventually you reach a point in this. Like, it's really hard to get into the industry, I think, from an outside perspective, unless you go in a roundabout way, like through a PR or right out of college. You just happen to get lucky. But then once you're here... And once you've made that transition, it's such a small group of people and they're all know each other that as long as you
pretty much get along, like you're a decent human being, you'll always be able to land relatively land on your feet.
Mm-hmm. But if you do a boneheaded thing,
you're burnt at the stake. It's done. It's done for you.
Because we do all talk to each other. I think that came up once. And I was even thinking about that. I mean, like everybody knows each other, like at all the other companies, like in like down to like one of the guys at G4 actually started we do multiplayer sessions of review games beforehand, from everyone, because you need to find enough people to fill out 16 people or whatever, and you don't have enough review copies of a game, and he'll set up sessions where we're all playing together.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important too that people from the outside with, that the casualness that they approach like boards and blogs and things and their opinions, a lot of time it's just a bunch of just hate.
Right.
Like just verbal diarrhea. And
I totally look at that stuff when I have resumes show up.
Exactly. Guys, people look at that. Being that jerk does not help you because nobody wants to work with an a-hole. So if you end up like if you are lucky enough to even get into the situation where you have a job, the minute you start like bad mouthing others or talking about other people behind their back or like saying anything like that, that can't be justified and is just like, hate mongering, then you're done. You're done. Like, you'll never get hired. At least not in games.
Yeah.
Or at least not by me.
Definitely. Definitely not by Dana.
Okay, awesome. So that's how we got here. Next question comes to us from Michael. Michael actually sent us an MP3 question, but I wrote down notes about what it was about. So he has a Wii, and he plays with his wife. She likes to play co-op, but she doesn't ever want to play against him, but she will play against others if she's on the same team with him. So he wanted some suggestions of some good games for the Wii where they could play together but against a team.
Kind of makes me want to throw up a little bit right now.
This is so sweet.
Yeah. Honey, I don't want to hurt you, but I'll hurt your people that are hurting you.
Yeah.
We're married.
Maybe she just doesn't like to lose to him. She's like,
Oh, it could be that. Yeah.
I think that's more of
what. Yeah. So good multiplayer games for the Wii, basically.
Where they Mario can play Kart. Touched a Wii and
yeah.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's your best bet, actually, is Mario Kart. Oh, what about, no, that's not multiplayer.
Monster Hunter Tri is all co-op, though. It's not competitive.
I was going to say WarioWare, and you guys could just switch back and forth.
Wii Party's coming out this winter. I mean, it's coming up. It's mini game stuff. It's like all that.
It's like
things.
Mario Party, but with Miis instead of Mario characters.
There's that new Super Mario Brothers Wii game, but I don't think it's competitive. It's like up
no,
to four
it's
players.
Co-op.
I'm trying to remember. Does the Blob have multiplayer? I don't remember. I liked that game.
I don't remember either.
I'll be honest. I don't really pay attention to the Wii.
Okay, so hopefully that answers your question. Next question comes from Heidi. Heidi wants to know how we deal with sharing games with our significant others.
We don't share.
That's kind of true. My boyfriend had asked me to bring Dragon Age back this weekend because he wanted to play it, and I was like,
no.
I didn't say no. I just kind of kept avoiding the question and just never gave him an answer.
Yeah. Oh, it's really beautiful outside today, isn't it?
Yeah, I did. And then eventually I just turned to him and said, if you want to play it, we're going to probably have to buy it today because I just can't let you have it. But there's games that I have no problem lending out to people.
Yeah,
just put your name on
it. Me and my husband share fairly well, because I think I mentioned this before, we actually kind of have different sleep cycles. My husband is a big night owl and I am not. Mm. So especially like on the weekends, I'm up at like 8 or 9 in the morning and he doesn't get up till noon, so I'm playing before he gets up and he plays after I go to bed. But if we do make a point to not give each other spoilers, that's very important to us. 'Cause
I would actually say the bigger thing is like not necessarily sharing games, but sharing TVs and systems. Because if you only have one in the house and somebody's playing like an Alan Wake and they don't want to give it up, you're going to be screwed if you want to play something. So I would say if you want to avoid fights, get another TV in another room and another system.
We do have another TV. Yeah, and that's, my husband does it. So like it's like once a year, then he'll go nuts for like a month, like being obsessed with some game. But other than that, it's usually.
Yeah, I don't have we only have one TV and one set of systems, well, except for handhelds. But we don't really have that much of a problem. My husband's pretty good about letting me play when I want to play, and he knows that he's got the time after I go to bed every night.
We do have a second TV that isn't hooked up to anything in the back room. So if I got desperate, someone could take the PS3 and move to another room.
Yeah, I was going to buy a new one and put one in my bedroom.
I don't know. We may want to keep
it. Think about that
one. I will think about it. All right.
Yeah. We have the two TV and multiple systems.
Yeah.
And the thing about sharing is we don't, because he wants to play it on PS3 and I want to play it on Xbox.
Oh.
So, you know, he always gets the PS3.
So do you guys have, the TVs right next to each other?
No.
That would be so cute if you were playing the same game.
No, because I've always had my setup in the bedroom. Like, I've always had my TV on top of my dresser. You know, my PS3 and my 360 there too. And his is in the living room. And he's got the bigger TV for out there. And I have a decent sized TV, but not a giant one.
Right.
But something that I just like waking up and then, you know, I have a little basket of controllers right next to my bed.
Right.
And I just reach down and grab the controller, turn on my Xbox that way, and just stay, you know, just sit up in bed and start playing.
That's pretty sweet. I've never done the TV in the bedroom.
I've done the TV in the bedroom, not the basket full of controllers by the bed. Hilarious. I actually have had to get up and get something.
Oh, no, you should totally do it. It's really neat.
I think you've got me convinced. Well, I got to say, there's something to like have that on Sunday where you're just in bed. You haven't even washed your face. You're still in your pajamas. Mm-hmm. You just sit there and you've got like all your pillows propping you up. Mm-hmm. And you're just playing for like hours.
And if you
could
talk someone into getting you coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the reason of even having a significant other.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm
hours from the safe point. I need you to go get me some food. Can you get me some food, hon? Thanks. Love you. Bye. Okay.
That's amazing. Well, I, Megan, am happily single, so I don't have to share. Although it's interesting that Jess brought up that you got a copy of Dragon Age and that you and your boyfriend are sort of, I wouldn't say arguing over it, but you're a little reluctant to relinquish it.
Yeah.
And the truth is that my copy of Dragon Age is actually not my copy. Somebody who never actually opened the package, who doesn't work at IGN anymore, lent it to me. And because everyone was like, oh, you don't want to buy it. You only like JRPGs. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like a Western RPG. And now I'm totally obsessed with this series. So so I never really bring it up when I hang out with this person because I'm like, I don't want to. I know I owe you a JRPG.
You're getting a phone call now, probably.
But
by the way, I just was listening to Girl Fight. And
and they do listen to Girl Fight, so they know.
So
you know
just
they
screwed
are.
Yourself out. That's yeah. of
it's a little bit of a confession.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I feel like I owe them a copy of Dragon Age because I'm like, I know that you really want this back, but my copy, my Alistair.
Well, I'm sure maybe they bought another one already. So
there's an idea.
Alrighty, next question comes from Alex. Alex wants to know, he wants to know which Marvel comic book character we like, but I think we can broaden that to all comic book characters.
I have to confess, I don't know, and I would totally, if I tried to pick one, would totally show that my comic knowledge is insignificant, and I would pick a DC character or other non-character.
I'm picking DC because, in my mind, the only comic book character worth anything, although her redesign has really ticked me off, and we can get into that discussion at a whole other point, but Wonder Woman. She is my hero. I was obsessed with her since kindergarten. Actually, since before kindergarten.
You do have Wonder Woman all over your cube.
I've got her all over the place. I have her all over my apartment, too. 90% of my t-shirts.
And do you twirl around?
Yeah. I did when I was little. When I was little, they had these plastic sunglasses that you could wear as a kid that had this little, you know, it was like red and it had this little like Wonder Woman icon, like why she would come out with sunglasses, who knows, but whatever.
Right.
The lenses got popped out, but because it was Wonder Woman, I refused to throw them away. And so I actually would walk around and I went to class with these glass frames on and no lenses. And people would tease me nonstop, but I didn't care because they were Wonder Woman glasses. And that's how we're doing it today.
Yeah. You should have kicked all their butts.
Did you have the underoos?
I did. I had the like pajama bottom, you know, like a little pajama thing. And then I would like twirl around in that. And that was my little Wonder Woman underoo.
I'll pick a Marvel character. Sometimes I would really like to be the Hulk because it would be really fun to smash a bunch of stuff up.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then
there I go. That's it.
Inconvenient. That's all it's.
For me, Marvel can be She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk. There you go.
That way
she's
cover
so
all,
attractive.
Well, she'll cover all, you know, because if you just become the Hulk, you only get your bottoms.
Yeah.
And if you become She-Hulk.
Well, but maybe I turn into a dude. I mean, I'm already turning into a green figure. I could just turn into a dude green figure. How is all that right. anymore? Yeah, how is that anymore?
I was just trying
than,
to be, you know, yeah. correct. That's cool.
It would
cool.
be nice to smash things.
Marvel character, I think I would have to go with Spider-Man. That's probably a lame choice to lots of people, but he kind of reminds me of my husband, so that would be why. But my favorite comic book character is a DC character, and that is Poison Ivy from the Batman series.
She's cool.
Anybody else?
I'm just going to go with Catwoman.
Okay.
I don't read comics at all.
I don't read comics,
care.
But I do like Catwoman.
Yeah. I was always a fan of Catwoman, both the movie
She's
and...
cool.
Not the Catwoman movie.
No, yeah.
I'm talking Batman Returns. I want to fix that before anybody goes, right. Oh my God. Oh, like, no, no,
that
no.
That horrendous movie with Halle Berry.
Not Halle Berry.
Ooh.
No, thank you.
Okay. Next question comes from Aiden. Aiden wants to know, have you ever hated a game that everybody else loved?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Really?
Hmm. A lot of people loved Assassin's Creed 2, yeah. Not, and I still hated it.
I have to say, I mean, just like there are a couple of... Like Halo and Gears of War.
Yeah. Hate's a very strong
word. It's not hate. I don't hate them, but I just don't understand what the fuss is about.
Another one, too.
Yeah. I'd have to support that.
We gave it a good score on IGN. Brutal Legend. Hated that game.
Really?
Forced myself to finish it, but hated it so much.
I liked that game. I mean, I didn't think it was awesome, but I liked it.
I was like, RTS? What the hell? I thought this was a hack and slash. Where is this coming from?
Interesting.
And
yeah,
then
I didn't
vehicles.
Even...
I hate vehicles. And you were just driving all over the place. Why can't I fly? And it was just a lot of problems I had with it.
I wasn't a big fan of... I wouldn't say against, like, hate it, because I obviously played it and finished it. And there was a lot of I liked about it. But my like of Heavy Rain was not anywhere close to, like, everybody else's enjoyment of Heavy Rain. And that caught me a fair amount of grief. But... Whatever.
You suck, Jess.
I know, right? I know.
There it is. Megan, what do I not like? I thought Darksiders was overrated. I couldn't get through that game. I didn't think it was
overrated.
All that
I think we gave it one of the lower scores.
I didn't say IGN specifically, but I was just saying I know
just
a lot
in
of
general.
And yeah, just in general, a lot of people liked it, and I couldn't even get through a third of it.
I think I stopped playing that game too. I was playing it at one point. Never finished it.
Yeah, I got through about a third of it and was like, ugh, nope.
Alrighty, cool. Next question comes from Michael. Michael is actually giving us an idea for a game and wants to know what we think about it. So he says, imagine a game where you have a mini game of driving your sister-in-law to her podiatrist and you could get some intimate points for your wife.
What?
Or success. Like, he's basically, we were talking about the wife's game or something like that you brought up a few episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he's saying, like, doing nice things for your wife would get you, like, cool points and, you know, that type of thing. And... he wants to know what we think of it.
I don't know that I would play
I don't
that game.
Think I would play that game.
You know, I wouldn't depend on I how wouldn't it's set make up. It would depend on how it's set up because like if you had told me a few years ago that I would be playing a game where you make people go to the bathroom, I would have laughed you.
There's a game where we make people go to the bathroom?
Sims.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I mean, even the most menial things or like, you know, running errands for people like in Animal Crossing, you know.
Or planting potatoes and anxiously awaiting the time when you can like harvest them. True.
So I won't write off anything, but it depends on how it's presented, obviously.
Yeah.
I never let my Sims go to the bathroom because I liked it when they peed their pants.
Just didn't build a bathroom.
No, I'm like, suffer.
Okay. Next question comes from Tina. And she's saying that she has noticed that there are very few minorities in a protagonist role for a video game. And she wants to know if we think that video game creators or heads of video game studios even pay attention to this type of thing. And is it inadvertent or is it on purpose?
I think it's inadvertent.
I would have to say, definitely inadvertent. I think they do pay attention. I mean, you've got... oh, what was that one game? Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, but I also think that when you're a creator, you probably just are subconsciously thinking of of yourself when you're creating characters or what you would want to be. And so, you know, if you're a white dude, you're going to probably think of your character as another white dude. Yeah, as a hotter version of yourself. So, I mean, I don't think it's on purpose, but probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
the majority of people who make games are
white dudes.
So, yeah. You know, that's basically what it comes down
to. But I've never had a problem playing a protagonist character that was a minority. I never felt like I wasn't getting into that character or that role
by playing
that person.
Yeah. I would agree.
Although, to be devil's advocate, you'll notice a lot of Japanese games have a lot of white characters. They don't look all that Asian. Like, Final Fantasies rarely have an Asian-looking character, which I always thought was kind of interesting.
They seem to have evolved into people looking like people I've never seen before in my life. They're just so damn beautiful. I'm like, where is this happening?
Yes. Yeah. They have pink hair.
Yes. And yet it works.
It looks natural.
But it's so coiffed.
Yeah. Spiky.
How does this occur?
Ow.
Who do I need to mate with to make this happen?
Okay, next question comes from Gerald. Gerald wants to know how he can meet more gamer girls, not just for dating, but also for friends. I would say if you can afford it, go to someplace like PAX, because that has actually a pretty large female population goes to that show, like consumer gaming shows.
Yeah, or like a BlizzCon, anything that's major like that, that's open to the public and you can go visit. If you can manage it, I would say do it, because that's where all the passionate people that are going to have the same interests as you, including women, will be.
Yeah, because you're going to have a hard time finding someone online, because women who play games online get a lot of dudes be like, hey, and you just tend to be like, I will ignore you all now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely go in person. Okay, next question comes from Tenny in, or no, that's from Tenny, Australia is the place. My bad. Sorry. Chantha Vey, and he wants to know what we consider an RPG. What's the difference between a straight RPG and a game with RPG elements? And how would we define RPG?
Oh, Lord, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about
role-playing game. game where you play a role.
I think that genre doesn't even really mean much of anything anymore.
It has so many mixtures of other things. Like Mass Effect is an RPG and sort of a shooter.
Fallout, you know?
Fallout is a first, you know, well, I guess you could also do third if
action.
You wanted to. But Fable, you know, another example of where the RPG is sort of there and sort of not.
Maybe where they focus more on story than gameplay. And by, I mean, obviously not crap gameplay, but like Fable was definitely more of like you're just pushing buttons pretty much the whole time. But you're really following the stories and trying to complete quests. I think that's where maybe you would lean more towards your traditional RPG concept. But yeah, so much of this stuff is so overlapping now.
Yeah.
And all for the better, in my opinion.
Yes.
That it's like, you know, just pick your poison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree. Megan, RPG, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
As the most hardcore RPG player of us.
No, I actually think that Jess really hit the nail on the head, where it's just like it's no longer rigidly defined as like turn based and magic, you know, and swords.
Yeah, you have
and stuff
your
like
magician
that.
And your healer and your
it's
warrior and your
you know now it's like Mass Effect is a futuristic, almost has shooter elements in it. So
yeah, I'm finding more the division being between what kind of RPG do you like? Do you like Western RPG or do you like JRPG? That seems to be more where it's like, okay, well, like that's where the separation is versus just RPG. I'm doing a big bubble motion right now.
Right, yeah.
Just RPG.
It's the RPG dome.
Yes, it encompasses all. That's the one ring to rule them all.
Next question comes from Chris. Chris wants to know what our thoughts are on cheating on our video game loves, like in Mass Effect 2. Did you stay faithful to Kaden or Liara?
Hell yes,
or did you move on to someone else?
It depended. Yeah. For Kaden, stay true. I love Kaden as a character. Everybody knows this. I wrote an article about it. but for Ashley, because I've, you know, done multiple different characters, and then I had a guy romance Ashley, cheated on her, didn't care about her.
Interesting.
Think she's fun.
So playing as the guy.
And she was
B-I-T-T.
Yes.
something.
She was not very pleasant.
She deserved it.
She did.
So I actually killed her. I didn't choose her.
Well, I wanted to have that one romance scene, and I was like, well, might as well romance her. And I'll just cheat her the next time. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
And I picked Miranda because she's hot.
Yeah, but she's another B.I.T.
She's a little bit, but she warms up near the end. Yeah, she's warm up, and she's got a position of power, at least. She's not some
She's just a little frigid. She just needs to thaw her, and then she's all good. But
I didn't play Mass Effect, but in Dragon Age, I stayed very, very true to Alistair.
Because he's awesome.
Yes. Even to the point where I ended up losing my most powerful mage because of it.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Me too. That was the one
it's
scene.
True Although, love.
Only if you choose the right thing. Like the first time I played through, spoiler alert, and I was trying to be Alistair's queen, and I chose the wrong option, and so I thought after the Landsmeet you could still be his queen, and he breaks up with you, and I was so mad about that. I slept with Zevron the same night because he was hot.
Oh my god,
he was hot and bothered. Yeah, so I was so bitter. I know, and so I actually ended up resetting. Yeah, yeah, and then I reset the game. I was like, no, I am going to be Alistair's queen. This is gonna happen. So
See, I wasn't able to be the queen because I was playing as an elf.
See, my one character, the new character I have, all about class. It's not going to happen, but the human, I did manage to stay tried and true to Alistair. I didn't get any in Mass Effect because I killed Ashley because I thought she was a bitch.
Which she
was. And then what was the one I cheated on a bunch? Like crazy. Fable. I had like multiple wives and kids all over the place.
But Fable's like, it's not really a relationship. You don't talk to them. You're like, here's a gift. All right. Well, I'm going to go sleep with this person.
Or you give them a thumbs. Yeah, you give them a thumbs up. I love you. Ding. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. But I mean, you can have children and they actually show up. So I was like, okay.
And they're annoying.
Daddy, what'd you bring me? Daddy, what'd you bring me?
Why did I have a family in this game? It's so irritating.
Just like in real life.
But in Dragon Age, I was a dude because I started out as a girl, got to a point where I got stuck, was like, screw this, I'm going to go back and do all the origin stories. Ended up playing as a male human. Went through, tried to romance Morgan. Obviously, she, spoiler alert, leaves, regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
And then I went ahead and slept with Zephron. I was like, hot. It's an achievement. I'm going to do it.
He's so weird, though.
He is a little bit weird, but I was like, whatever. I don't care. What do I have? I have nothing to lose at this point. She's going
to
leave
nothing
me anyway.
To lose except achievement points except if achievement I don't point. Sleep with him.
That's like 10 points. I'm totally going to do it.
Good point. Go. Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Next fight comes from... There's no name question.
Did I was I like, next fight?
Yes.
Round two.
Yes. Next question comes from somebody whose email is Skippy2591, but they didn't put a
name.
Oh, no, there's the name. Daquan, sorry. Ah. And he wants to know if we think iPod Touch or iPhone can be considered a legitimate enough portable platform where it will equal or even eclipse the PSP or the DS.
Yes.
I definitely think the DS. And I think it's right, pretty much almost there right now because, I mean, Cooking Mama's on it. You know, you've got all these other like DS-related games that you can download and all the companies are making them for that. So
and here's the other thing is that the... like it's gonna, it pulls in so many more people who don't consider themselves gamers. Like so many more people are playing games, and it's easy to figure out. I mean, my daughter, like I said, that's her first gaming system, 8 months old.
Yep.
Like iPhone, doom.
Yeah, and what is that stat that our president always likes to quote? Like there are more games on the App Store than there have been box copies of games from since the beginning of games.
The industry.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Who's saying that?
Roy.
Oh. Yeah.
My sister's not a gamer at all, but she's addicted to, I think it's Plants vs. Zombies on her iPhone. Mm-hmm. She loves a game. It's a really fun game.
It is, although she should totally down the PC version because you have all the little extra mini games on the PC version that aren't on the iPhone.
Yeah, but she's always traveling and stuff, so this is perfect for her.
Does she have a laptop?
Perhaps she does.
Data will
is
not let
Pop
go.
Paying you?
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
No, but they really,
how hard do you
they really
push
should
this?
Be.
Yeah. That is true, yeah. Okay, cool. So next question comes from Hannah. Hannah wants to know what we think about the ability to bring your character from the first Mass Effect into the second Mass Effect. Do we think that that was a good idea and that it will start marketing?
It was great. It was brilliant.
I wish they did that for Dragon Age Awakenings. Or awaken, Dragon Age Origins Awakening.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of mad you couldn't really, you could whatever use, the next you could, Dragon you could Age use your character, is. But you couldn't bring all of the stuff.
Didn't bother me that much. Not that much. Well, I wasn't thrilled, but I was like, okay, this isn't that bad.
And that's actually classic RPG, like PC RPGs, the old school ones. You used to be able to do that all the time because my husband did that with all the Ultimas and the King's Quest, and he would take his character back and forth.
Yeah, I used to do it with like Quest for Glory too. You can always have the same character. Yep. But, yeah, I love that they did it with this one because it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You've already got the trilogy. You're following your story. It's all about your decisions. So if they didn't follow, they didn't carry over, what was the point?
Right. Yeah. You're already emotionally attached then when you go in.
The game would not have worked if they didn't do it that
way. Well, and just even like, I'm not really overly stoked to pick up, let's say, Fable 3 because it starts over, right?
Right.
I mean, essentially, you're starting over.
You're starting over.
But if I've got a character that I know is going to go from Mass Effect 1 and 2 into 3, I'm definitely picking up 3. Like, no question in my mind. Fable 3? I don't really care.
You don't want to bring those kids along.
I don't
want to
bring
the
kids along with me. They're already a burden. I already own all of Albion. What do I care? I've done it.
I own everything that there is to own.
Yeah, I do. I own the whole city.
Awesome. Okay, next question comes from Glenn. Glenn is like he's like an awesome dad. So he wrote into us about a problem that his son has. He says that he gets in relationships with women who tell he's great and the kind of person they've been looking for, only to have them move on after several months, saying, I just want to date casually. I'm not interested in a long-term relationship. And he wants to know, what the heck does dating casually mean and what's the point of it?
She's not that into you?
Yeah,
it means that she wants to be able that if she finds somebody hotter or cooler or nicer or richer or whatever, she's going to leave. Exactly. She doesn't want to feel guilty. Which, hey, you know, everybody's done that. Yeah. It's not just women. Guys do that too. But it's just like people do that. So if your son can handle it and he doesn't care, then as long as he takes care of himself, if they do get together, that, you know, oh, well, that's what the choice that was made. And if he doesn't want to put up with it, then just get rid of her.
I think anyone who's doing that, you need to be upfront about that from the beginning. And I have always done that, you know, where you're like, this isn't going to go anywhere. Yeah. This will only go to point Y. So if you are looking for something that's going to go to point Z, then I am not that person for you.
There's been people that I've dated where I've admired them from afar. And then when I actually go on a few dates with them, it has taken a little bit of time, you know, where I've been like, you know, this just isn't going to work, you know, but I still think that they're a cool person. So if you want to still hang out, we'll hang out. But then the difference there is it becomes hanging out, not dating.
Right.
And that means that, you know, I start paying for my dinners and I start, you know, like, you can do whatever you want. I'm going to do whatever I want and blah, 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 blah. But
yeah, it doesn't say in here either how old his son is, but I would say, like, if he's like in his, you know, early 20s or whatever, that I don't think you should really be expecting any girls to be uber serious at that point in your life. I don't know. Yeah. Is that just me? Like,
or he could go to the Midwest.
I'm sure that there are some that will, but
Settle
down a lot of younger out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I made that mistake when I was in my 20s, and I would advise not to rush into anything.
Yeah. All right, cool. Hope that helps. Next question comes from Sean. Sean says, the dudes at GameScoop consider themselves the Sex and the City of the podcast. So what does that make us? What?
We're the Wire.
That whole email was gross.
Or the Sopranos.
How are they the Sex and the City?
I don't understand that. I don't know.
Because they talk about
relationships? I don't know why you're looking at me as if I would know.
Well, you've been on it.
Yeah, but yeah. They also have never once called themselves the Sex and the City of the podcast when I'm
because
on
Greg
it,
Miller has a lifetime supply of Louboutins.
Yes, maybe so. Manolos.
Yes.
Manolonics.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to say that we are more Sex and the City until those boys show up in those shoes.
I don't want to be Sex and the City. No. Let's pick something
Sopranos.
Cooler.
I don't want to be Tony.
True Blood.
The Wire.
Did you see
True
that
Blood?
Last night?
Oh my
gosh, last night. Oh my gosh. Last Sunday.
I don't watch it.
It was messed up.
It ended interestingly. And I kind of wanted to throw up a little bit.
Really? I was like, go!
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Why would you want to? No, that looks painful.
Okay, stop.
Terrible.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway,
it's so good. You got to watch it.
Okay.
Next question comes from Franklin. Franklin wants to know, what developer would we most like to see tackle a genre that is kind of outside of what we've seen them do.
Any
before.
Of my favorite developers, like any of the really, really smart ones, like a Blizzard or a Valve or even a PopCap or something like that, just because they're companies that are smart about making games.
Mm-hmm. And they've got the monetary, you know.
Yeah.
The means to make it yeah. good.
To make yeah. it happen.
And they all, I think all of them have the authority to be like, we will not be putting out this game until it is ready to put out, rather than being locked into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You, okay, your release date will be Q4 2012, whether the game is done or not.
And go!
Yeah. You know, in most cases, I kind of, you know, I'm all for people, like, expanding their boundaries and trying something new. But as far as going to, like, a completely different, like, you know, I don't know. What is it? His example in here was Epic creating like a JRPG. Like,
oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, I wouldn't want these people to go too far outside of what they're really good at. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But those are those are companies that I think actually are smart. I think Epic does its bombastic shooters really, really well, but I don't know that they would like. Yeah. I don't want to say they're a one trick pony. That God knows they can make a lot better games than I can make.
Yeah,
they have a focus.
Yeah, I think the point I want to make is those developers that have gotten to that level are that level because they have really mastered a genre, in my opinion. Yeah. And
to completely throw them out of their element just might not work.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, next question comes from Colette. Colette has sent us questions before. She wants to know, what are some of our favorite achievements or trophies that we worked really hard to get or just had the most fun getting?
I have to say I don't chase the achievement score. So
for me,
it
was the unhuman gold in God of War 3 for beating it on Titan.
Yay.
That was very fulfilling.
I enjoyed 100%ing Red Dead, getting that achievement. That was nice.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. I don't really do much achievement hunting.
I got a really cool sounding achievement in Dragon Age, but I can't remember what the heck it was.
Wait, cool sounding?
Yeah.
Is it like the name of it?
Yeah. Because okay. I don't chase achievements either, but when I won it, I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Now I can say I have that.
I did get the multiple, to go back to more pervy discussions, I did get the multiple partner achievement in Fable.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
That was fun.
Which I didn't think, I actually didn't even know it was in there because I didn't research any of it because I don't care about achievements. And I was just like, haha, I wonder if I can make two people sleep with me. And then I like,
you did.
And
you're like, woo.
And then all of a sudden an achievement popped up. And I was like, whoa,
sweet.
I remember lovely. I got an achievement for Fable's a weird game. It doesn't matter how I was dressed. I was like not attacking people, but like doing the scary face in the middle of town.
Uh-huh.
And the achievement popped up that I took somebody on the perfect date.
That's awesome.
And I was like, somebody's perfect date is standing in the middle of the town square.
Wow.
And having me growl at them.
That's interesting.
It was totally weird. I was like, wait, what? Okay.
Yeah, if
this
that
game
wasn't
is either broken or
yeah, I know. I was gonna say if that's not a bug, that's a really weird thing to put in the game.
Yeah, that is amazing. It was weird because
Peter Molyneux is a quirky guy.
He is. So if you're looking to get that achievement, maybe try that.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't have it yet.
Yeah,
I'm saying it worked for me.
That's different. That's a different one.
This next question comes from Chris. Chris wants to know, what are our opinions on keeping games as opposed to selling them, which we touched on a little bit already. I keep all my games.
I don't keep them all because of like a space thing, but like I get most of my games for free and we can't sell them. So I will usually give them to friends or whatever and say whatever you want to do with it. It's up to you.
Yeah. Most of the games I have are games that I have because I really like them. Mm-hmm. So I have a tendency to keep my games. I buy almost all my games. I would say at least 97% of my games are bought by me. So at the end, I actually haven't sold games in forever, but I wouldn't be against it if I had something I really, really didn't want.
Yeah, and I will say I have, when I have worked places where it has not been against policy to sell games, I've totally sold games.
Yeah.
I sold some things I didn't like, but most of the games that I'm willing to invest in are ones I know I'm going to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So either for artistic purposes or I know I'm going to love the series or whatever. So the games that I do buy, don't rent or buy used or whatever, are ones that I always keep. So
I have like an 80-20, I guess, ratio of 80% I buy and like 20% I'll get free. So all the ones that I buy are generally things that I want anyway. Mm-hmm. So I keep mm-hmm. them. But if, unless I've made a horrible decision like GTA 4. And I was like, nah, whatever, screw it, sell it back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I might do that also with Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
Because I have not put that in, nor had any desire to put that game back in since I played it.
Usually what I do is I'll take a game that I don't like and I'll trade it in for store credit and then just use that towards either like a pre-order or something that I've actually really wanted for a long time.
Sorry.
Okay. Next question comes from Omar. Omar wants to know if we think vampires need to make a comeback in games.
No, because I'd be afraid it would come back as a Twilight game.
Oh, that's what he says. No Twilight.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Besides Castlevania.
Yeah,
I guess I was gonna say. Castlevania.
Or what was that awful? Was it
Blood Rain?
Blood Rain? No. What was the Vampire Rain? Vampire Rain.
What?
It was. I have no idea what it was. The box art was the worst box art ever.
I worked at Edelman when we weren't doing PR then. It had been the year before, so I missed that boat. But thank God.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible game.
White Wolf did a great job with the PC Bloodlines.
Uh huh.
And I wouldn't mind seeing them update and come out with something new, because I'm a huge White Wolf fan. So that was. I enjoyed that. I don't think it's like. I wouldn't. Yeah, just no Twilight. Just no Twilight.
Sure.
Yeah.
Twilight. Computer Gaming World did a cover for that series, and it was a woman. They were like experimenting with things, and they had a photo of a woman with vampire teeth, and it just said "bite me" on it. Awesome. And they were like, "Yeah, it was bad. It's a really bad cover."
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the other way around, though? Wouldn't she be biting the?
No, I know. Yeah.
Mm.
Well,
vampires don't really bite each other.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, next question comes from another Chris. This is directed directly at Jess and Christine, and he is saying that it seems like you guys can't record a video or post a picture of either of you without it turning into a who's hotter argument. He wants to know if you guys laugh about that, get angry about it, talk about it all.
I will say, as someone who sits right near them, they totally hate each other as a result of that.
We just constantly fight and scratch at each other.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm prettier.
I didn't even know that was going on. So I would say no, we don't pay attention to it.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Don't like to really read stuff about me on the internet because I'm afraid it's not going to be positive. Right. So
yeah. No, I am there with you on that. I regret it any time I do.
I do read stuff on the internet mostly to see... just because of the job position I have, to see like what the general flow of opinion is. But I go through that with a pretty incredibly large grain of salt.
Yeah.
So, you know who to pick and choose. And so comments like that or anything that's like directed along those lines, I pretty much just ignore.
Alrighty.
Unless I'm on my period and then I get mad. And then I will probably hunt you down.
So be forewarned.
So, I'm having a bad day today, man.
I won't hire you, but Jess will track you down.
Yeah, but I will find you. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, the whole situation now that I'm like, but this is great. I think my Xbox has been hacked, like my account.
What? Oh, really?
Because I had it limited to friends only. I haven't added anybody in months, specifically not anybody that's a stranger. I've only added people that I knew. And this person like started sending stuff not only to me but also to like everybody on my friends lists and like hitting them up. I don't even know how it occurs. And so, but like, you know, that kind of stuff, I'm just so I don't even know how we got on that subject. I think it was that I'm getting mad.
And that just made you mad.
And I just got madder. So okay, I just was gonna rant. Okay. Right,
we have time for one more question.
All right,
my bad.
This one comes from Jared, and well, this one is going to be just for Dana, because she's the only one that fits the criteria here.
Oh.
How have you and your husband dealt with gaming time and having a new child in the house? Did you just cut back on gaming or not game at all?
Depends on how old they are. Like, when she was a newborn, seriously, my husband played through Fallout 3 on his paternity leave, and there are pictures of both of us when she's, like, 2 weeks old, like, just in our arms while we're holding the 360 controller and playing. But that doesn't last. That period does not last very long. I mean, we just don't play when she's up, but she goes to bed by 8, so that still leaves pretty much the whole night ahead of us, which, we work during her nap or whatever, so it hasn't really affected... those are the times when I normally would have been playing games anyway. She sees me play a few things here and there if they're like really E-rated. She'll see me play Facebook games. Actually, when she comes up to the computer, because she's seen me playing enough of, you know, various farming games because, like Nicole, I need to look at those for my job. And then she'll walk up when I'm at the computer and start clucking like a chicken. Because that's what she's used to seeing. She's like, oh, bark, bark, bark. I'm like, no, not right now, honey. So I don't mind letting her see it some if it's appropriate material. I was debating. I'm like, so when I'm at home on Friday afternoon, when we get the afternoon off and I'm going to be at home alone with her, am I okay with her watching me play Lego Harry Potter? I think I might be. I just try and limit all her screen time overall because she's only a year and a half old.
Yeah.
So it's not that I think there's anything objectionable in it. It's just, all right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Do you sit her in front of the TV?
Start
or
training her. Have her play it.
Read her a book or something. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight, and you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And if you like what you're hearing, please give us a good review on iTunes because that helps us out a lot. And we will be back with you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.